It's always fun, always an adventure when we have the kids in the room. You never know what's going to happen, but I do want to continue. So we're in the series called Elite Life, and today we're doing what we call fun. We're talking about fun, and I want to know what you do for fun. And so the question, I got a microphone here. Sometimes the kids like to speak into a microphone. So the question is, what do you do for fun? All right, does somebody have an answer? Okay.
I play with my friends.
Okay, nice answer. That's a good answer. Anybody else? What do you do for fun? Anybody down here? You play with strings, looks like. Okay. Anybody else? Let's see. Some of the guys want to talk in the... Oh, there he is. Okay. For fun, what do you do, buddy?
I do sketching.
Sketching. He's got it right here, right now. Very nice. Very good. Anybody else? What do you do for fun? Some adults can answer, too. Oh, we got all kinds of hands up here at the top. Okay, here we go. I can't just pass the microphone down to them if you don't mind. There we go. Just hand it down. That's a really brave thing to do. I let go of the microphone. For fun, what do?
I have play dates.
Play dates. Nice. Next.
I play by myself.
Okay.
I play with my iPad.
iPad. Now we're getting to the real stuff, right? Somebody down here. Here's Ben down here, right? Okay.
Play football.
Football, very nice. A sportsman. And pass the microphone back down, very nice. So while you have the microphone, Diana, what do you do for fun?
Watching Netflix.
Oh, okay, very nice. Dave, for fun, what do?
Might play the occasional round of golf.
Golf, okay, very nice. Anybody else brave enough to say what they do for... Oh, right here, yeah. I'm going to reach over the top.
Reading the Bible.
Oh my goodness. Okay, very nice. The gold star goes to that guy, right? Oh, over there. Just shout it out.
Playing outside.
Playing outside, yes. So, Paul, what do you do for fun, buddy? Okay, very good. Somebody heard it. Banjo. Outside with friends. Okay, we're combining some of these. Okay, very good. Give these guys a hand for being brave. I snuck in a couple of adults. Any adults want to answer? What do you do for fun?
Hang out with friends.
Hang out with friends. It's true. She does.
Hiking.
Hiking.
Dragon boating.
Dragon boating. Still plugging there, yeah. If you like that too, see her. Sailing. Board games. Who likes board games? Raise your hands. Okay. Half the people do. The other half of you, you hate it, right? Okay. I like board games. Okay, so we have all these things. Whenever we say, what do you do for fun? We have these different ideas that come to mind. And so today we're going to come into this question and say, okay, what does life look like when it comes to fun? Fun life. And our verse, our main focus is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. So let me be really honest with you and say this is a difficult message, actually. Has anyone heard a sermon about fun before? Me neither. I couldn't copy off of anybody. I've never given one, and so I've been thinking about this for a long time, actually years. I've been thinking about this message, and it's just hard. My dad has a saying. He says, you know what, whenever you're preaching, it's great when you have something to say, and it's not great when you have to say something, right? And so this morning, I have to say something about, okay, what does fun look like from the Bible standpoint? I am thankful that as I've been praying, God's given me some things, and I'm looking forward to sharing. But whenever you look at verses about fun in the Bible, you just take all the different major translations in English that have the word fun, and there are 142 verses in the Bible that talk about fun. But 125 of those are about making fun, like teasing someone. So all 125 of those, gone. All right? That leaves 17. 17. And almost all of those are negative, like discipline isn't fun. Well, how am I going to preach about fun from that verse, right? So there's basically almost nothing in the Bible talking about fun in a positive way. Now, there are verses that talk about good things. And so let's just go through a couple of those very quickly. Man, I like this one. Psalm 118, 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be what? Glad in it. So does God want us to have joy? Like Dr. Heimlich Manoeuvre said, yes, he wants us to have joy. He gives joy. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. So he wants us to be glad every day. Another verse I like, James 1, 17. And this is important. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. And so we know that everything good, every positive feeling, thought, or whatever you can have, God invented that. Every pleasure is God's invention. And so we can be encouraged that God has given us good things and we don't need to be afraid of that. I really like this one as well, Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries the bones. You know that, right? You're around someone who's always positive and it makes you feel better too, and they feel better, and it's like, okay, it's like medicine, right? You're just more healthy. Happy people seem like they live longer. I think they actually do. Doctors could tell us. I haven't researched that one. But then you're around people who are like, oh, always upset, right? They're stressed out, and you're like, oh, they're dying, and it's spreading to you as well, right? And so we don't want to be around people like that. So there's this idea of joy and gladness and a cheerful heart that is good for us. And so we don't need to be afraid of that. So, again, we come back to the question, okay, this is fun, and you're thinking, okay, if there's no verses on this, what are you thinking, right? In fact, maybe this is the question that you have for me right now. So maybe you're thinking it, so just go ahead, and if you don't mind, out loud, read this to me. Go for it.
Why is fun part of being God's?
I'm so glad you asked. Why are we doing this if it doesn't seem like a clear biblical thing that we should be doing? Why is it part of the series about having abundant life? Does anyone know the answer of why fun is in the series? Because it is fun. The more fun it is, the better the life. Okay, that's close. What's the goal of the Elite Life series? To get practical and say, look, if we're going to have this abundant life that God is talking about, how does it really apply in our real everyday lives? And do we ever, just be honest for a second, do we ever think about or engage in things that we think are fun? We do. A lot, actually. Maybe too much, possibly. And so whenever I'm looking, seriously, as we were looking at this concept of looking at our entire lives, we can't just gloss over this idea of having fun. Maybe you could say it's entertainment. It's in the section for recreation, rebuilding, getting healthy in our lives. And so we need to talk about it because it's actually a part of our lives. And so we want to say, okay, God, what do you want for this section? Otherwise, we might just think it's okay on its own. No. Lord, what do you want? How do you want to speak to us? And so just to review quickly, when we think about abundant elite life, we're saying, okay, what does this look like? Well, number one, Christ is the center. He's got to be on the throne. And he helps us to understand our identity of who he has called us and who he has named us and who he has made us to be. And then whenever we have that, we realize he's doing more in our lives than just giving us good things. He's actually going to accomplish something bigger, and that's the mission on the outside. But all of that is going to be accomplished through the actual pieces of our lives, the actual parts of how we live day to day. That's how it's going to happen. It won't be separate from, it'll be through all these other pieces. And so what are those pieces? Well, we have our relationships, our responsibilities, and the recreation. We've talked about family, the operative word there, love. We've talked about friends, the operative word, influence. We talked about fitness. And the operative word before was health, but I think witness. Fitness can be a witness. So how do we use our bodies? By the way, anybody you had a different food portion maybe this week? You actually put it to use? Maybe did you purchase something different this week on your food? I know I did. I bought fruit instead of candy, and it was okay. It wasn't fun. Actually, it was better for me, though. It tasted great. So maybe you're learning as well. Maybe you're trying to apply some of these things. But the idea is we want to have life. We want life in every part of our lives, every part of this existence that we have. And that means, okay, we invite in or we follow what God has said for every area. The presence of God equals life. So I just want to zoom out for a second and just let's talk about this concept of fun and look at it historically, okay? So if you look at the left side, this is what people have done for fun through the ages, right? Long, long, long time ago. So here's the feasts and celebrations. We read about that in the Bible. We hear stories and so on. So feasting, eating food, and celebrating, you know, having a wedding or whatever. Singing, playing instruments. And so you see these cultures all around the world. People will sing and play these different instruments. Very creative. Dancing. So many times you'll see this in the ancient culture. And sometimes in some cultures, even today, there's dancing. By the way, is anyone here from a dancing culture? Would you just be brave enough to raise your hand? You still do this. Nobody's brave enough. Okay, so I actually was dating a gal one time, and she's from Central America. And so they had a Puerto Rico. So her heritage, the uncles and the aunts came in, and they had this party, right? I'm from Texas, right? I'm very, very Caucasian. And so they get to the fun part of the party, and they put the music on, and everybody in the room starts to dance. And I'm like, what are you doing? I don't have a clue, right? And they're trying to invite me in, and I'm scared. Like, my family, we grew up, we didn't do that. We're just very reserved, very boring, right? We'll play a board game, yeah. But if we're going to dance, I'm sorry, we can't do that, right? But it was cool, actually. I was like, this is actually fun. And so for a lot of history, many, many cultures, if not most cultures, have had this piece of dancing and jumping around. Now that I've said I like it, anybody say, yes, you have it from a dancing culture, all right? Still nobody, okay? All right. So dancing has been a part of many cultures through the years. A storytelling. They didn't have movies, right? So they would just tell the stories. They would pass along part of their culture and their history. Traveling. People all along have loved to travel. No surprise. If they were educated and had books, they would read. We've seen accounts of that. Discussing and debating. We're not the only ones who enjoy doing that. Everyone in history. Other entertainment. Again, you'll see drawings of people throwing things or running, racing, or whatever. And so they had competitions. So some people would compete, and other people would go and watch the people competing. And so that's been around for a long time. And then lots of other hobbies and obsessions. But now let's look at modern time. Okay, so when we look at ours, yes, we like to party or braai or whatever, right? Have a celebration. We still like to do that. Food and friends, great times. We love to travel. And DB, if you have 5 free minutes, you're on an airplane. I've seen how this works. We love to travel. Reading. We still like to read, I think. Some people do. Discussing, debating. Of course, we like that. But then we get to this one, other entertainment. And here's the one that has dominated for the last few decades, actually. Getting close to 100 years now. Technology. This is very different than what used to be, right? We didn't have iPads in the old days, but now we have movies, Netflix, TV, and we spend a ton of time on that. Sports, watching sports on a TV or on some kind of device. And so we're not even there physically, but we're watching to see how's our team doing. The internet, or maybe it's on your phone, but either way, you're on the World Wide Web and you're out there into all kinds of things. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, you name it. There's all these things that we're into. And we're scroll. Got to see another story. One more story. One more video, right? Scroll. It's pretty crazy how much time we spend. Video games. Oh, wow. Video games. I won't ask you to raise your hand. Video games. Did I mention video games, right? Music. And it's different, though. It's a different kind of music. We have sports, and we still do sports, right? And that's fantastic. You're combining the fitness and the fun together, right? Watching other people. If you're a parent, you're watching your kids all the time, probably, feeling like that. And then we have other hobbies and obsessions, actually. But let's just take a couple of these to compare the old and the new. In the old days, here's how music looked, right? You'd play an instrument or sing, and usually there was someone else with you. But how is it these days when we do music? Sometimes we play instruments, and some of you are in band and so on, but most of the time, When we're enjoying music, how is it? Alone. Plugged in. By yourself. Different, right? Look at this one, too. In the old days, if you wanted to hear a story, what'd you do? Find the old guy. Because those guys are good at telling stories. What do you do now if you want to have a story? The iPad's a great babysitter. But it may not be a good parent, right? I've done it before. It's easy to do. And so the world is changing, and how we have fun has moved. It's not the same as it used to be. And so just have a couple of questions for us as we think about fun, as we think about how it applies in our lives. And here's the first one. Why do we have fun? Anybody? Why do we have fun? Decompress? To enjoy life? Why do we have fun? Because it's fun. It feels good, doesn't it? It's like, whoa, that was great. Let's do it again. Fun is fun. At the top, Lulu, yeah. What you got? Exactly. Great answer. We like to have fun. Why? So here's the next question. Here's the question. Is it wrong to have fun? Isla? She says yes. I think she wants the gold star. Somebody already got that one. I'm sorry. It's not wrong to have fun. It's not. It's okay. Having fun is not a sin. It's not a bad thing. It's a gift from all these good things, as we saw a minute ago. They're from God. And so here's a little phrase. Maybe this will help you. Fun is fine. Fun is fine. Now, sin is not. And unfortunately, even when we look at Scripture, so many times the fun crosses over into things that are not okay. And obviously with a mixed and young crowd in the room, I'm not going to go into some of the sinister things we do for a buzz, for some fun, for some excitement. But that's not okay. And you know that. I don't have to go into all that. You know that. It's built in. So sin is not okay, but fun is. And so we can say, you know what? Thank you. I can enjoy fun. And here's kind of a little guide for us. 1 Corinthians 10. Here's our kind of our theme verse for the day. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 says this. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. So if you have a question on whether or not it's okay, just say, hey, God, I'm doing this. What do you think? And if he's like, not today, then you say, okay, I'll do something different. If he says, that's awesome, you're like, yeah, you enjoy it. But just remember, we're walking with him. We're trying to be part of what he intends for us in everything, including our fun, right? And so whenever we come to this place, then we can be at peace and excited about it. Here's a couple of phrases, though, that I want to warn you about. Here's some phrases I've heard that can get us into big trouble. God wants me to be happy. Almost every time someone says that, what happens next is not good. And eventually won't help the happiness. But so many times, you know, God wants me to be happy, so I'll just do the wrong thing? No, right? So watch out for that one. It's okay to have a little fun every now and then. Again, it's like you're just justifying something stupid you're about to do, right? So it's okay, not a big deal. And then here's the last one. It's okay. I think God will forgive me. Why would you hurt yourself? Again, the idea is that God doesn't want me to have fun, and that's the opposite. He actually wants you to have the most fun, and it won't be damaging to you. You won't look back and have regret from it. So we come back to this verse right here and say, you know what? So whether we eat or drink, and this can just set us free. So as we think about all these different things, whether we eat, whether we drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Then that can guide us in our journey, even in these things of fun. Okay. So we're done, right? Everybody feel good? Nobody feels discouraged or like you have to change too much? Well, then you didn't get your money's worth yet, right? Danny's not done yet. You're right. We're just about halfway, actually. What's missing? What's missing? The mission! Thank you, Craig. This isn't just about us. You ready for the second half? It's going to get good. What does God want to do with our fun to impact eternity? All right, so here we go. More questions. Let's keep going. How much time? How much time are we burning having fun? And is it even that encouraging when you do it? I think about how much time, you know, looking at stories or reading this or reading that. You know, I've learned there are certain websites, certain news sites, that if I go to them, I'm done for an hour and a half because they have such great clickbait, right? I've learned that if I want to see a football game, it's going to ruin me for 3 hours if I'm going to watch the whole thing. So you know what I'm saying, right? How much time are we doing, are we spending, having fun? And again, it's not wrong, but here's the next question. What are we trading away? What are we exchanging to be able to have that however much time? I mean, how many times have we responded to someone's email or written a letter to someone, and in the beginning of the letter or the email, we've said this: I'm sorry, I just haven't had time to get back until now. And in the back of our mind, we just spent 2 hours watching a movie that we didn't even like. It wasn't even a good one. Do you hear where we're going with this? It's like, okay, is this God's intent for our lives? I can't think that it could be. So whenever we come back to this, we say, okay, God, what do you want? What are you doing? You see, whenever we burn a ton of time in this area that we think is fun, the enemy's got us, because we're actually robbing from another area, like maybe family. Like maybe we should be spending time with our family, and instead we're doing something that we would say is fun. Or maybe we should be exercising. You know, that's, a lot of times that's me, right? Maybe we should be getting our work done. All these other things that we could be investing in and getting more life in if we weren't spending so much time over here on this thing. And then we feel behind and stressed and so on. I don't need to go a long time on this. You know already. So just think for a second about the ways that we have fun. Think about the ways that you're having fun right now, because sometimes they're very time consuming. That's the way those different media are designed. They're designed to suck you in and keep you a long time. That's what they're trying to do, actually. But think about those ways that you're having fun. And here's the question. Are you willing to let God redefine what is fun? Are you willing to let him say, I have something for you that you may actually enjoy more and it has a better result? You see, here's a verse that I think is really key for this, Philippians 2:4. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Another verse I think is powerful here. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You're saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait, Danny, hang on. You can't take this away from me. I enjoy my fun, all right? So don't say that this is not something I should have for me to be able to get some stress out of my life. Oh, okay, I'm not. Okay, don't kill me here. But the idea is, let's just think for a second. Is there more that we can have in this? Is there something more that God has for us? Because Scripture says it's more blessed to give than receive. So maybe we need to not just think about ourselves, but think about what else is happening around us. And here's the real question for us this morning. Have you ever thought of this before? What would God say is fun? What would God say is fun? Anybody just off the top of your head, you think you have an idea of what God would say is fun? What would be fun for God? Making a giraffe, creating, right? Beautiful. Watching his creation. I heard someone else. Surfing. God would enjoy surfing. That would be pretty cool to see. I bet he would be good. He would know which wave to catch. What's fun for God? Fishing. Okay, now we're into all kinds of fun things, right? God enjoys. So that's it for now. Thank you. Well, one more, Lisa. Talking with us. Thank you. What's fun for God? Enjoying his creation. What I would say is really fun is seeing people choose him instead of choosing the death that they're currently in. What's fun for God? And let's see if we can draft off of that. Let's see if we can hook onto that and be a part of that. And so here's really what we have to come down to. We come down to the place of making a trade, where we say, okay, this is what I think is fun, but I see something that God has, and I'm going to be willing to make the trade for what I'm holding on to, and I'm going to see what God has and see what happens. Let me tell you some stories of someone who did this. Actually, five different people who've done this. Let me tell you their stories quickly. This is a king named Darius. Darius had a guy in his kingdom who was really smart, really talented, the best guy in the whole kingdom. He wanted to promote him to be the top, top guy. That guy's name was Daniel. Some other people ganged up on Daniel and said, hey, we figured out a way to trick him. They got the king Darius to sign a law that was bogus. Sure enough, next thing you know, Daniel broke the law because he was faithful to his own convictions. And so then Darius had to follow the law, and you know what Daniel was going to get? The lion's den. And so what does Darius do? So it says in the Bible that Darius, that night, he tried to figure out any way he could to keep Daniel out of the lion's den. There was no way around it. And so they end up throwing Daniel in the lion's den. And you know what Darius did that night? Scripture says clearly he skipped his normal entertainment, his normal diversions, his normal fun, he skipped. And he spent the night fasting. And then the next morning, he goes down to the lion's den, and he calls out, Daniel, did your God save you? And Daniel replies, here I am. Darius made the trade. Instead of having fun, he was fasting and praying for someone who was in need. And then whenever he found out that his prayers were answered, that was fun. A different kind of fun. Let me tell you about this guy. This guy's name is Zacchaeus. I love the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had spent a ton of time gathering a lot of money. He was rich, the Bible says. But then one day, Jesus came along and he said, I want to see Jesus. And so he climbed a tree, and sure enough, he sees Jesus. And then Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I want to go to your house for lunch. Zacchaeus, who'd been pushed away by so many people, was like, okay, come on. Jesus comes to his house. They have an incredible dialogue. Zacchaeus' heart is changed. And Zacchaeus stands up in this moment and he says, I'm going to give half. You think 10% is a lot, right? I'm going to give half of all of my goods to the poor. I'm giving it away. And if I've wronged anybody, I'm going to repay them 4 times. So what used to be fun for Zacchaeus is not what's fun anymore because Jesus has changed him, and now he wants to see smiles on other people's faces instead of trying to get them for his own. Zacchaeus made the trade. Another story. Jesus tells a parable about a guy who was out in the field looking around and he came across something that was amazing, a treasure buried in this field. And let's look at this picture. I love that picture. The guy's like, yeah, look at this. So he covers it back up and Jesus tells us that this guy goes and he sells, not 50%, it says he sells everything he has so that he can go and buy this field and have the treasure. You see what happened? There was a trade. What used to be valuable switched to something else. Let me tell another story. Actually, this is a guy named David Green. He's the founder of a store chain in the U.S. called Hobby Lobby. In fact, I found out about his story on Right Now Media, and you can too. If you go to Right Now Media, which is free, it's a gift from us to you, information in your bulletin on our website, little plug there for Right Now Media. But on Right Now Media, you can go to the Hobby Lobby decision and hear about David Green. There's a couple more stories that talk about their business and how they run things. But David Green started this company and really tried to honor God and everything. But he has 2 sons. David has 2 sons that work with him in Hobby Lobby, this big company. One of his name is Steve. One of his name is Mart. And whenever David talks about his 2 sons, he says, my sons have a habit. He says, they spend 80% of their time not on Hobby Lobby. He says, my two sons have a habit. It's a Bible habit. His 2 sons have gotten so excited about this. In fact, if you go to Steve Green's website, okay, this is his home page. Look at what it says. Inviting all people to engage with the Bible. The Hobby Lobby is one of the major funders to keep the Holy Bible YouVersion app going. In fact, he's one of the main ones. A lot of you have that. We use that all the time. Thank these guys for this, right? He also has built a museum. Has a museum there in Washington, D.C. called the Bible Museum. This guy is passionate. His obsession is about the Bible and getting it out to people. Here's his brother, Mart. This is amazing. Mart Green. Right below his name, it says this. This book is alive, TM. So he's a Hobby Lobby guy, but he's got something else going on the side. It's about the Bible. And so if you look at this bio about him, there's one little paragraph I want to highlight. It's this one I've circled in red. Let me make it a little bit bigger for you. Here it is. In 2010, Mark began a journey to help build a digital Bible library through an alliance called Every Tribe, Every Nation. Maybe you've heard of them. Its goal is to centralize, digitize, standardize, and finalize the Bible texts of the world. This will make it easier for audio, video, mobile, and print-on-demand ministries to obtain the Bible texts they need. Here's the cool part. It's Mart's belief that by 2033, 95% of the world will have a complete Bible. 99.9996% of the world will have a New Testament. And watch this, 100% will have at least 25 chapters. What do you think those 25 chapters talk about? Maybe Jesus, right? Jesus says, the gospel will be spread to the whole world and then the end will come. I think this is part of it. You see what's happened with Mart? What's fun for him has changed. And he has an obsession that's different. And instead of thinking about what can he get for himself, now he gets excited about what can he give to some people. How can he put a Bible in someone's hand who's never seen it before? And so here's what happens. It changes. And the fun that used to be isn't the same anymore because now I want something that's two things. I want something that's fun and fulfilling at the same time. I want something that's fun and makes an impact on forever. So what are we saying today? Are we saying that you can't watch any more movies? No. You can't play golf? No. You can't go out? No. That's not what we're saying. We're just saying, hey, God, what do you think? And then maybe he has a trade for you. Maybe he wants you to let something go that you thought was a huge deal so you can invest in and spend time and energy on something bigger. So where are you today? On this status report that we've gone over so many times, is your fun about to wreck you? Because it's possible in this room that there's some people who are into some stuff. You're just doing it for fun. That's your rationale, at least. But it's about to wreck your marriage, about to wreck your job, about to wreck your health. I don't know. Are you there? Or are you like these guys? Man, what you're doing for fun is making an amazing difference around the world, producing fruit for the kingdom of God. Where are you? And what does God want to do in this area, even the area of fun? Too heavy? Here's the great news. Took all the fun out of fun. No, let me say this. You haven't even tasted the fun yet. Here's where we're headed. We have to believe God has given good things. And while the enemy will whisper in your ear, don't do that. That's crazy. God wants to ruin. It's the opposite. It's the opposite. What he has is better. It really is. So put a smile on your face and take everything and say, okay, whatever I do, whether I'm eating, whether I'm drinking, whatever I do for the glory of God. And whenever he puts that check in your spirit, you can say, okay, what do you have instead? And enjoy it because he knows you. You know, some people like to play golf. Some people like to watch golf. Some people like to cook. Some people like to eat cooking. Some people like to garden. Some people like to go running. People are all different. Do you know who made you? Ask him because he knows exactly how you are wired and what will be fun for you more than anybody else, even you. He knows. So will you engage him on this? Will you bow your heads and close your eyes? So there's so much here, and again, don't want us to be beating ourselves up, feeling guilty for doing something we enjoy, for having pleasure. Again, it's from God. How can we enjoy that? But there's opportunity. Okay, God, what do you have for me? What's the next step? And so I just encourage you to be thinking now, Lord, what are you doing? And listen to the Holy Spirit. Because if you listen to him, he will point out the things. And if he's just saying to you right now, if he's saying enjoy, then just enjoy. But if he is saying, hey, I've got something better, go with him. and enjoy it. And maybe there's someone in the room who's never taken the first step of life, and that's to receive the forgiveness of Jesus and to say yes to that offer of salvation, forgiveness of sin, and life forever here and in heaven. And you've heard about it, you've been thinking about it, and the Spirit has been working on your heart, and today's the day. Today's the day. Say yes to Jesus. He's reaching out. Take his hand and say, save me. Father, I thank you that you love us, that you have good things for us. And so help us to trust you and believe you and follow you and enjoy what you have for us. Lord, I pray for those who have not trusted you yet, that today it would begin the true fun of abundant, real life that only you can give. Lord, for those of us who know you, but man, we've been spending time or energy in things that we shouldn't, I pray that we'll surrender those to you and make the trade, whether it's to invest in parts of our lives that we may have neglected or just to have a new obsession, a new hobby that you would give us. I pray that you'll help us to be obedient. Thank you, Lord, for what you are saying to us. May we listen, may we respond. In Jesus' name, amen. This next song is about surrender, and the idea is whatever you want, Lord, whatever you want. So I pray that as we sing this song, you will indeed hold up your hands and open them and say, Lord, whatever you want in my life, I want to surrender and receive what you have for me. Let's stand together and sing this song and mean the words as we sing them.